The BBC presents Life with the Lions. According to the English dictionary, a boomerang is a curved object used by natives of Australia as a missile weapon or any proceeding that recoils on the originator. But, according to Ben Lyon, a boomerang is an attempt to teach your wife a lesson. For example, take last Thursday morning.
I tell you, BB, something has to be done about the money you're spending. Just look at these bills.
Yes, dear.
This is a pip from the telephone company.
Ben, drink your coffee while it's hot. More toast, Richard?
Oh, thanks, Ma.
BB, how can a bill get this large?
Now, darling, please, I'm reading something very interesting from the Postmaster General. This is a questionnaire on, do you know your telephone?
Well, from the size of this bill, I'd say we're certainly on speaking terms.
Well, the bill wouldn't be nearly so big if they sent it once a month.
Ma, that doesn't make sense. But it's a good idea.
Now, here's an interesting question. Do you have trouble with your button A?
I do. It's not long enough to hang my shopping bag on.
I agree. I'll put down yes. Question two. Have you been cut off, and if so, where?
Oh, that's silly.
Have you a box next to your phone for the members of your family to pay for their own calls?
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's enough to make a boy leave home.
Is this a private fight, or can anybody join in?
Yeah, pull up a bill and sit down.
Oh, Daddy, don't tell me you're off on that again.
Well, why shouldn't I be? Day after day, week after week, I work my fingers to the bone, and what have I got to show for it?
Bony fingers. Richard, that wasn't funny.
You're darn right it wasn't. I'm going to check these accounts. I want you to explain why there's a telegram on here for £2.
Darling, how do I know? I didn't send it.
Well, me either.
Well, don't look at me.
Look, someone must have sent it. It's on my bill.
Well, why don't you call up information and ask her who it was?
Because I'll get no information and only a rude answer.
Yes, that operator's getting entirely too big for her earphones.
She certainly is. Last week, I asked her to get my office for me, and she said there was no such number. So I asked her if she thought she was talking to an idiot.
Well?
She said she didn't have that information.
And last Monday, she was darn rude to me. But I didn't let her get away with it. I told her I was going to report her.
What did she say to that?
She said, you can't. This is a recording.
Well, everything's going to be different now.
Yes. This questionnaire says the telephone operators are starting a courtesy campaign.
Well, it sounds very nice, but it doesn't ring true to me.
Well, why don't you ring true and find out?
All right, but I assure you she'll be just as rude as ever. And she'll probably take 10 minutes to answer me.
Good morning. Can I help you?
Hey, she said good morning. I must have a cross line.
Oh, hello, Mr. Lyon. Would you like some information?
Well, yes, I... How did you know it was me?
I recognized your youthful voice.
Oh, I haven't got a youthful voice. Have I?
Yes. But I hope you didn't mind my saying so.
Pop, don't let her give you the wrong information.
You be quiet. Oh, operator, I want to find out about a telegram that was sent from this number on the 28th of last month. Would you please connect me with your accounts department?
Oh, that won't be necessary. I remember that telegram very well. It was a very long one, wasn't it?
Yes, and very expensive. What was the name of the nitwit who sent it?
Ben Lyon.
What?
Yes. It was addressed to a Mr. Toby Benson, asking him to play golf with you. I remember it very well because the message was so clever and witty.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I remember it now.
Is there anything else I can do for you, Mr. Lyon?
No, thanks. And I'm so sorry to have put you to so much trouble.
Not at all. Your trouble is my pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And give my regards to your charming family. Goodbye.
Goodbye. What a charming operator. You have no idea how she's changed.
You see, I told you. Did you find out who sent that telegram?
Yes, dear. It was a business wire. Well, I better get back to the office.
And I better get over to the Ideal Home Exhibition.
Oh, Mother, why don't you come with me and look around?
Oh, I'd love to. I'll go get my coat.
Oh, Bibi.
Yes, dear?
If you should happen to walk by anything you think you'd like for the house...
Yes, dear?
Just keep walking.
Yes, dear.
Oh, Aggie!
I'm in the kitchen, Mrs. Lyon.
Oh, I wish you could have been at the exhibition with us.
Nice to see you back, Ma. Can I have my free samples now?
Later, dear. Aggie, has my husband come home for lunch?
Not yet, Mrs. Lyon.
Good.
Come on, Barbara. The coast is clear.
Oh, coming. Oh, Richard, open the door a little wider, will you?
Okay. Boy, where'd you get all that stuff?
Oh, these are just a few things that Mother picked up.
A few things?
Richard, put that big box under the kitchen table.
Okay. Ma, I thought you were just going to look around.
Oh, I was, but those electric gadgets were just crying for me to take them home.
I know how you feel. Breaks my heart to see an electric gadget cry.
How was the exhibition, Miss Barbara?
Oh, simply fantastic. We hated to leave it.
You didn't leave it. You brought it back with you.
Mrs. Lyon, what have you got in all those boxes?
Oh, just essential things like an electric frying pan, a self-ejecting fruit corer, and a homemade wine maker. Now, here's something for you, Aggie. An automatic vegetable timer. Listen.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll set it right now while I cook the potatoes.
And just look at this beautiful automatic coffee pot. As soon as the coffee boils, the buzzer goes off like this.
Well, now, isn't that clever? I'll put on some coffee right away.
It sure is going to be quiet around here.
Oh, hello, Skinny Boy.
Quick, push that box under the table.
Well, what's everybody doing in the kitchen?
Oh, I was just telling Aggie about the Brussels Pavilion at the exhibition.
You didn't buy anything, did you?
Darling, you told me just to look.
Good girl. What's that?
Well, what's what, dear?
That bell.
Bell?
Yes, don't tell me that you didn't hear a bell.
Did you hear a bell ringing, Aggie?
How about you, Master Richard?
I agree with Barbara.
And what are all those boxes under the table?
Those are just a few little gadgets for the home.
Well, they're not for this home. Now, Bibi, you take them back.
But, darling...
Now, take them back. I said we're cutting down and we're going to cut down.
Oh, but, Daddy, they're not expensive things.
Never mind, Barbara. What does your father care how I slave in this house?
Slave? You women of today kill me. You're living in a push-button age. Automatic washing machines, automatic spin dryers, automatic floor polishers. All you have to do is push a button and zam, the work is done. If you ask me, on Mother's Day, we should have sent flowers to the electricity board.
Is that so?
Look, sweetheart, I want you to have everything you need, but we're cutting down.
Oh, Daddy, how can you be so unreasonable?
I'm not at all unreasonable, am I, Richard?
I'm staying out of this.
What do you think, Aggie?
Well, since you've asked me for my opinion, Mr. Lyon, here it is. The coffee's boiling.
Coffee?
Oh, yes. Isn't it wonderful? When the coffee's ready, the buzzer warns you to turn it off before it boils over.
Well, I'm warning you to take it back before I boil over.
Now, Ben, can't we just keep the coffee maker?
And the automatic vegetable timer?
In three words, not likely. Now, when lunch is ready, call me. I've got to be back at the office early. I've got a very important appointment.
Oh, Mother, what are you going to do?
I'll have to think of something drastic.
Oh, Miss Crane, I'm in my office now. Any messages?
Yes, sir. Mr. Richard Murdoch telephoned, and he'll be here in a few minutes. Oh, the handsome stinker.
No, please, Miss Crane, calm down, please. It's very important we give Mr. Murdoch the right impression. Remember, we haven't signed him up yet.
Oh, I do hope you do.
Yeah, so do I. It'll be a big feather in my cap. There are four TV companies after him right now.
And I don't blame them. Oh, it's him. It's him.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I'll let him in myself.
Well, Dickie Murdoch.
Glad to have you here, Dickie. Sit down.
Thanks. It's jolly nice to see you again, Ben.
And it's jolly nice to see you, too, old boy. A cigar?
Not now, thanks.
Look, I wanted to talk to you about signing up with our company.
I'm listening.
You see, I have a great idea for a TV series for you called Around the World with Murdoch. You know the sort of thing, a luxurious adventure story written in excellent taste. I'm working on the storyline now.
It sounds as if you've got the whole jolly thing already planned.
Oh, yes, it's all in my head, and it's the biggest thing you ever saw.
I know, but what about the TV series?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Ben, that was just one of my funny wheezes. I must say, you make it sound absolutely top hole.
Well, I'm glad you like the idea.
Of course, a series like that will have to be done in a big way.
Oh, don't worry about that. Our company does everything on a big scale. Our motto is, if you want the best, you've got to pay for it.
That's exactly what my mother says.
Hey, she sounds like a wise woman.
Oh, she is. You should see her handle a business deal. As a matter of fact, Mother's in Scotland at this very moment buying a controlling interest in one of the biggest companies up there.
Oh, you're a lucky fellow to have such a clever mother.
Yes, but at times it can be a bit of a bind, Ben, keeping up with her. You know what it is, having a brainy woman in the family.
No, I'm afraid I don't. Oh, excuse me, Dickie.
Yes.
Yes, Miss Crane?
Line, I was so excited about you-know-who that I forgot to tell you about Mr. Toby Benson. An important business appointment cropped up, and he's had to cancel his golf date with you this afternoon.
Oh, all right, Miss Crane. If he calls back, tell him to make it next Thursday.
Very well, Mr. Lyon. Oh, and try to get me a picture of Mr. Stinker.
Yes, I will, Miss Crane. You know, she's one of your greatest fans, Dickie.
Well, what's so amusing about that?
She's older than I am.
But I must say I admire her spirit. Not many people work when they're over 80.
Well, thanks.
Now, Ben, don't lose your sense of humor just because you've lost your golfing appointment.
Well, it's darn disappointing. There's nothing I like better than a good game of golf.
So do I. Ben, you've got yourself an opponent.
Hey, that's great. And look, after the game, how about coming to my house for dinner?
Oh, I'd love to, over.
Wonderful. I'll call Aggie up and tell her there'll be one more for dinner.
Yeah, Ben, if you don't mind, I'd rather you didn't say you were bringing me. I mean, I don't want her to go to any extra fuss just because of me.
Okay, if that's the way you want it. But the family always make a big fuss over dinner anyway. As I told you, Dickie.
I know. You always do things in a big way.
Oh, Mother, where are the napkins?
We're using paper napkins tonight.
Paper ones? But Daddy's bringing a guest home for dinner.
He said he wanted me to economize. Well, he's going to get what he wanted.
Hey, Ma, I just brewed the homemade wine, and it looks horrible.
Good.
Mrs. Lyon, I know you're doing all this to teach your husband a lesson, but his guests will think this is a very peculiar household.
And he'll be right. Who is it, anyway?
All your father said was he's bringing home his golf partner. But I know who it is, Mr. Toby Benson.
Not again.
I had to make a date with him last week to play this afternoon.
You mean that old golf bore who keeps on telling us about the time he made a hole in one?
Yes, and he still never told us what it was he made a hole in.
Ah, well, if you do have to upset one of your husband's guests, I suppose Mr. Benson is the one we'll miss the least.
Well, that must be popcorn now.
Then I'd better go and finish getting the dinner ready, such as it is. Barbara.
Stop staring out that window. You'll give the game away.
Look, that man coming up the path. Oh, no, what a horrible thing.
Now, Barbara, that is no way to speak of your father.
I mean the person with him. It's Richard Murdoch.
Well,
What?
Oh, gosh, it is. And there's hardly a thing to eat in the house.
Oh, and nothing to drink. I sent all the bottle stuff back to the store.
And all the shops are closed. Oh, Mother, we can't do this to Mr. Murdoch. He's one of my favorite stars.
Well, he's mine, too, but this is war. And if your father wins his battle for economy, life is going to be pretty dull for all of us.
All right, but we'll just have to make it up to Dickie Murdoch sometime.
I agree. Now, let's all keep very calm.
Oh, hello, honey. Look who I brought home to dinner.
Hello, Phoebe.
Oh, well, how wonderful to see you. Oh, Barbara, this is Mr. Ducky Murdoch. I mean, Mr. Ducky Murdoch.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Barbara. Oh,
hi, Dickie.
And this is Richard, Richard.
Oh, hello, Richard, Richard.
Hi, Mr. Murdoch.
How about a drink, Dickie?
Well, thanks.
Well, you must have one of my orange cocktails.
Ooh, looks very tasty.
And here's one for you, Ben.
Oh, thanks, honey. Well, Dickie, here's mud in your eye.
Down the hatch.
Hey, what is this stuff?
How about some hors d'oeuvres, Mr. Murdoch?
Oh, thank you very much.
Good. Now, would you like raw carrot, grated carrot, diced carrot, or just plain carrot?
I'm afraid I don't like carrots.
Well, that takes care of the hors d'oeuvres.
Phoebe, what's going on here?
Saving money, dear, remember?
Another cocktail, Daddy.
No.
How's your drink, Mr. Murdoch?
Frightful stuff. I mean, I've had quite enough, thank you.
I'm sorry, Dickie. Phoebe probably didn't want to spoil your appetite before dinner.
Oh, jolly good idea.
Dinner is served.
Oh, good. Come along, Dickie.
I'm ahead of you. I don't think I've ever been so hungry in my life.
Me either.
Oh, would you like to sit over here next to me, Dickie?
Oh, I'd love to. I say, what a jolly good idea, dining by candlelight.
And it's so much cheaper, isn't it, Ben?
Phoebe, stop worrying, Ben. I'm quite happy with just one candle. Aren't you, Barbara?
You're talking to Phoebe.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but in this light, Phoebe looks very dim.
She is.
Daddy, please. Not in front of Mr. Murdoch.
Oh, Mr. Lang, would you care to serve the fish?
No, you do it, Aggie. I can't see a darn thing in this light.
Oh, very well, then.
What kind of fish have we got tonight, Aggie? Salmon, trout, lobster?
Kippers.
Not kippers. Kipper.
Don't tell me there's only one kipper between the five of us.
Well, it's quite a large one.
Ben, would you like to carve it?
Now, listen, Phoebe.
Please. Not in front of Mr. Murdoch.
Here's your portion, Mr. Murdoch. Will I take out the bone for you?
No, thank you. That looks the best part.
And here's your portion, Mr. Lyle.
Would you like some wine, Mr. Murdoch?
Rather.
Good, I made it myself.
Rather not.
Now, look, this is ridiculous.
Mashed potatoes, sir?
No, thanks.
Mr. Lyle?
No.
None for me, Aggie.
Nor me.
Well, what am I going to do with all these mashed potatoes?
Please, not in front of Mr. Murdoch.
Well, what shall we do now that dinner's over?
Yeah, I'm frightfully sorry. I hate to not eat and run, but I really must be going.
So soon?
Yes, my mother's flying down from Scotland, and I must meet at the airport. I'm happy to say.
Well, if you insist, I'll get your coat.
Are you sure you wouldn't like something else before you go?
No, thanks. I assure you I've had about as much as I can take. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Oh, Dickie, be sure and think over that TV series.
Yes, indeed, Ben. Don't call me. I'll call you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Sit down, Mother, and I'll get you a sherry.
That sounds wonderful.
I'm very proud of the way you closed that deal in Scotland for the Kitchy Gadgets Limited. You're quite a girl.
Thank you, darling. It was a very exciting enterprise, but I'm glad to be home.
So am I.
What do you mean? You haven't been anywhere?
No, but I wish I had. I had dinner with the Lyons tonight.
Then you must have dined extremely well. I hear Mrs. Lyon is an excellent hostess. How did the food strike you?
Right in the pit of the stomach. Here's your sherry.
I thought you were signing a contract with him for a television series.
What? Work for that frightful Scrooge?
You know, as an important executive, he sounds very interesting.
The only thing about him that interests me is how he keeps alive on such a meager diet. Have you ever heard of carving a kipper?
He probably doesn't believe in overeating because he wants to keep healthy and alert on the job. I'll bet he's as fit and slim as a greyhound.
If a greyhound ever had a waistline like that, he'd never get out of the trap.
But if he eats as little as you say he does, he can't be fat.
Mother, let's not argue about his waistline. It's as broad as it's long.
Very well. What sort of television contract did he offer you?
A nominal guarantee and a 50-50 split on all the money my films brought in.
Now, that's the kind of a partner to have. If he lives as frugally as you say he does, he must be extremely honest. You'll never have to worry about a man like that putting your money in his pocket.
You know, Mumsy. I never thought of it like that.
Then it's time you did. I'd like to meet this Ben Lahn.
Well, I'm sure he began to split a kipper with you.
Oh, darling, stop joking. Go on, ring him up and suggest a meeting.
All right. But I haven't got his number. I'll have to look it up in the books. Good heavens. What on earth is that?
It's Kitchen Gadget's latest electric automatic tea heater. Haven't you found Mr. Lahn's number yet?
No. Someone's pinched my L2R section. I'll call information.
Good evening, sir. Can I help you?
That remains to be seen. I want to get in touch with a Mr. Ben Lahn, but I'm afraid I can't find his number.
I'll be glad to get it for you, Mr. Murdoch. Bayswater 2201.
Oh, you deserve a kiss for such quick work. You're a very fast operator.
And so are you, you cheeky thing.
It's you, Bibi. This is Richard.
Richard? I thought I told you to go to bed.
No. Not your Richard. Richard Murdoch.
Oh, Dickie Mudlark. Well, I'm so glad you called. I want to explain about the dinner tonight.
Oh, that won't be necessary. My mother's already explained it.
She has?
Yes, and she's very anxious to meet all of you.
Well, we'd love to meet her, too. How about having dinner with us again?
Dinner?
Yes, would next Saturday suit you?
Say yes, Dickie.
Yes, Dickie.
Oh, fine. And this time you'll get a dinner you'll never forget.
I haven't forgotten the last one yet. See you on Saturday.
How soon will Dickie and his mother be here, Ma?
Any moment now, dear.
Oh, Mother, I brought the orchids for the dining room table. And here's the caviar.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
Where's Daddy?
Well, he's upstairs getting dressed. He just got in from the office. I'll get it.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Well, hello, Dickie.
Mother, I'd like you to meet our charming hostess and her daughter, Barbara.
I've so been looking forward to this.
Oh, so have I.
So happy to meet you, Mrs. Murdoch.
What a beautiful young girl.
Well, thank you.
This is my son, Richard.
How do you do, young man?
Well, how do you do, Mrs. Murdoch? Allow me to take your coat and briefcase.
Thank you.
Come on in, make yourselves comfortable. My husband will be down in just a few minutes. Would you care for something to drink?
Yes, we'd love one of your orange juice cocktails.
I'm afraid we're right out of those, but I can recommend the pink champagne.
Pink champagne?
Mrs. Murdoch, try one of these biscuits with the black currant jam on them.
Richard, that's caviar.
Try one of these biscuits with the caviar jam on them.
No, thanks. Where are the raw carrots?
I'm afraid we're right out of those, too.
Caviar, Mr. Murdoch? Or would you prefer some pate de foie gras?
No, thank you. I feel as if I were eating someone's profits.
Oh, sorry to be late, folks. Hello, Dickie.
Hello, Ben. Mother, this is Ben Lahn.
How'd you do?
Well, so you're Dickie's mother.
Mrs. Lahn, dinner is served.
Oh, thanks, Aggie.
Oh, Daddy, what a shame you missed the pink champagne and caviar.
Any more jokes?
Daddy.
Oh, you know, I never could figure out why caviar is so expensive. It's nothing but fish eggs.
Well, you pay for the talent. It's harder to lay eggs underwater.
Huh?
Oh, that's true, Richard. Oh, Mrs. Murdoch, will you sit next to Ben and Dickie next to me?
Oh, thank you.
Allow me, Mrs. Murdoch.
Thank you.
Hey, are those white orchids in the center of the table?
Oh, sorry, Daddy. We tried to get black ones.
Well, now, who wants pheasant, who wants grouse, and who wants partridge?
Oh, no.
But they're all out of season.
Aye, we know, but don't tell anybody.
Now, you see, we always like to give our guests a choice of birds.
Mrs. Lahn, how very impressive. What is your favorite game?
Musical chairs.
Champagne, Mr. Murdoch?
Just water for me, thanks.
Oh, sure.
Does anybody feel like a partridge?
Personally, I feel like a dead duck.
Oh, Aggie, perhaps you'd serve the vegetables while we're making up our minds.
Oh, very well.
Dickie, you'd be a fool to sign with a spendthrift.
I agree. He'd live like a Maharaja on my money.
Ma, what's the matter with everybody?
Looks like I've goofed again.
Left without even having their coffee.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Where's Mother?
Oh, she's in the den packing up those electrical gadgets she bought.
Daddy, you mean you're really making her send them back?
You're darn right I am. After what's happened tonight, I'm going to be obeyed around here or I shall walk out and never come back.
We shall miss you, Pop.
What?
I mean, I'm sure it won't ever come to that. I'll get it.
Now, who can that be?
Come in. Oh, Pop, it's Mrs. Murdoch and Dickie.
Oh, that's wonderful. Come on in, folks.
Sorry to barge in again like this, but Mother left her briefcase.
Well, since you're here, wouldn't you care for some coffee or a drink?
No, thanks. Mother just came back to... to say...
Thanks.
Mr. Lahn, those gadgets are from my factory.
They are?
Yes. Where are they?
Oh, in the den. Come on, I'll show you.
Oh, you know, Ben, my mother's so crazy about electrical gadgets that she bought the Kitchy Gadgets factory in Scotland just to make her own.
Oh, well, I can sympathize with you. You know why we got that kipper dinner on Thursday?
Gadgets?
Yes. That was to get even with me for not letting Bibi keep them.
Oh, and I suppose tonight she was trying to make up for Thursday.
Right again. You know, we may as well give up, Dickie. We haven't got a chance against the gadget.
Oh, Dickie! That dear Mrs. Lahn has bought every kitchen gadget we make. Oh, Dickie, you simply must give Mr. Lahn that contract.
I intended to anyway, Mother. Our telephone operator gave them a very good reference.
Oh, honey, about those gadgets.
Oh, Ben, before you say anything you'll be sorry for.
Yes, dear?
Don't say anything you'll be sorry for.
Oh, okay, honey, you can keep them.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
You know, all of a sudden, I'm hungry.
Me too.
Well, I'm afraid the caterers took everything back.
Well, don't worry. I'll cook some bacon and eggs on my electric frying pan.
And I'll make some toast in the automatic toaster.
And I'll make some tea in my electric tea heater.
What are you going to do, Pop?
Sit down and enjoy it.
Hey, do you think you should have all those gadgets working off the same plug?
Richard, we know what we're doing.
Pop, they'll fuse the lights.
Barbara, put the plugs in.
Okay, Mother. There.
Get the candle, son. We're dining by candlelight.
Daniels and Ben Lyon were their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Molly Weir, Patricia Field, Joan Ingram, and guest star Richard Murdoch. The incidental music was by Paul Fenelay, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. Bob Block, Ronnie Hanbury, and Bebe Daniels wrote the script, and the production was by Tom Ronald.